KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
It's time for our Heritage Foundation update. Done weekly at this time on ABQ Connect. We welcome back onto the broadcast, Genevieve Wood. Thanks for taking the time, Genevieve.
Oh, great to be with you as always, Steve, and your audience.
I love the topic we're covering today, and I'm going to tell you, as a grandparent, it was hard. You know, I hate to be that parent that's like, hey, you should read this article. to send it to my kids.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is the potential for essentially a warning label from the Surgeon General to be put on social media sites in regards to the effect social media may have on young people. This article was found at the dailysignal.com. Genevieve, you're pretty well acquainted.
Yeah, no, well, this is a topic that I think most people know something about, because if they know any teenager, whether it's their child or their grandchild, they know that, but you know, when you have, I think it's 95% of kids between the ages of 13 and 17 use social media platforms. And that's most of our teenagers. And when we know that fact, and we now know increasingly study after study shows how it has oftentimes a negative impact on their brains, because the fact that children just don't have the ability to break away from messages and the technology that encourages them to stay plugged in, to keep coming back, to not get offline the way that adults do. And anybody who's trying to get a child to turn off the TV set knows exactly what I'm talking about. As my sister says with my nephews, and they're playing a video game, she's like, it's like they're addicted to this thing. It's like a drug. And there are plenty of studies that show that it acts very similarly to that. Not exactly the same for every child, but if it's one child, it's far more than that. It's too many. And what's happened is the Surgeon General has now come out and said, and you know, let's be clear, the Surgeon General doesn't have tons of power. They can make recommendations, but they can't make laws. And he's come out and said, I believe we ought to put warning labels on these platforms, not saying we should shut them down, but we ought to put a warning label saying, here are the negative aspects that can happen if you spend too much time on social media. Just like the way you have the, you know, you have a warning label on the side of cigarette. If you smoke, you may, you know, it doesn't say you will get cancer, but it says you increase the likelihood. If you were pregnant, you should not smoke. You know, and so you could have something on there that says something like the use of, you know, too many hours of social media causes anxiety and depression in many children. What's wrong with having a warning label like that pop up every time a child gets on Instagram or gets on X or whatever platform they happen to be using, Snapchat? I don't even know all the ones that they'd be using today. And you might invoke some conversations. I mean, a child might say, hey, mom, dad, what's anxiety? But I mean, the fact is, if we know that, why at the very least would we not want to warn parents and warn users about it? I mean, I think we ought to be taking a step further and saying, for many of these things, you ought to have parental consent. There's a lot of things we don't let kids 14 years old do without their parents' consent. Why do we let them go on and do things that we know can be damaging to them physically and mentally?
Yeah, I really appreciated the part in this article. Again, found it at dailysignal.com. And the headline, if you're looking for it, warning labels on social media, Surgeon General wants them to protect young people. Will Congress act? And I do love the part where it talks about how it could start conversations. And you know, I would say to parents who say, well, I'm not prepared to have a conversation with my child. They're not old enough to really have a conversation about anxiety and depression. Well, then it's probably something to consider that they're probably not in a place, in maturity level, that them surfing around on social media is something to be considered.
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, look, we already know, and this is long before social media showed up, that when people are in their adolescent years, you know, what others think about them, their bodies are changing, the way that people view them, approval, that matters a lot to people in this age group. And social media platforms, especially for young girls, has dramatically increased that. It's made them much more aware of, like, what do I look like? What does my body look like? Being very concerned about that. And we've all seen the stories in the news reports. And everybody who's having trouble doesn't end up in the news. But the fact is, many children are being negatively impacted. And, you know, the fact that 95% of those 13 to 17 are on platforms may make you think, do people realize how bad it is? Do they realize that you spend 3 hours a day on these platforms? And 3 hours sounds like a lot. But, you know, anybody who's ever scrolled through Facebook knows is they lose 30 minutes real quick and didn't even know that it happened, right? And that's an adult. Think about your teenager, you know, who's sitting in the back of a car or who's just scrolling through their phone while you're watching something on TV or making dinner. I mean, they spend their entire lives on these platforms. And some of it they can't help. Schools use them now. You know, schools give out the iPad, the homework assignment, everything's on the iPad. Everything's via email and the like. So they already spend tons of their time online, and many of them have phones, many times for safety reasons, but you know, they're not just using their phone to call somebody or even just to text somebody. They're using, I mean, we all know every time you look at your phone, there's 5 or 10 or a zillion things that you could be doing on it. And I think all of us, adults included, have to, you know, have to be disciplined. And it's very hard for teens, especially, to discipline themselves that way. Which is why, you know, they're still living under your roof because they're not ready to live by themselves yet. And we need to think about that in terms of social media. And by the way, I should say, Steve, this is a very bipartisan issue. I mean, the fact that Democrats and Republicans, you don't find a lot of issues these days that both parties and both kind of sides of the aisle agree on. Pretty much everybody agrees on this except for the social media platforms themselves. And many of them are going to cry First Amendment rights. But again, nobody's saying you shouldn't be able to have your platform. The question is, can you have it and use the technology that you use? And we all know they do, just like the way they try to sell stuff to us. They see what you look for, what you search for, and then all of a sudden they're populating your feeds with those particular items and products. They use that same kind of thing to try to keep teens online, to keep them engaged with the app. That's all legal, but let's just be honest that it's happening, and let's be honest about the negative effects that it can have in addition to the positive effects, and then deal accordingly.
Yeah, very powerful. And actually, as I think about this, and if this warning were to actually be something that would make its way to social media, what impact might it have on those past the age of 13 to 17? You know, if I'm logging into a social media site, it doesn't know, well, it knows what age I am probably because, you know, I've signed up for the social media, but, you know,
it
just turning
a lot more about you.
Right, know. right. But if this warning is going to come up, even, you know, hopefully it just is a generic, it pops up regardless of the age of the person, but just reminding all of us about the importance of considering this with those, you know, in that age range, 13 to 17. However, what a great reminder for all of us, you know, if it's impacting kids 13 to 17 in areas of anxiety and depression, the truth is, to a certain extent, if not just as much, impacts those, you know, our age that go on there. And a great reminder. I mean, how often do you sit there and ding, you get that weekly update of how long you were on your device over the last week? And you think, really? Daily?
You can't believe it. Well, but, I mean, and I think everybody, I'm sure, has seen an article or a zillion articles about, you know, the more that screens have increased, and this is not just phones, but television, computers alike, you know, the attention span of people has gotten shorter and shorter, and that's across many age groups, not just teens. And again, when I'm saying 13 to 17, I'm using that number in terms of how 95% of them use social media. But the reality is, many younger than that are also using social media and have phones and are already susceptible to all of this. But what we know about the teenage brain is that it is still developing, and these type of technology impacts it in a way that it doesn't affect those who are fully grown and their brain is fully developed. So, you know, it's funny how we all realize that teenagers seem to act crazy sometimes, and we all go, oh, yeah, well, the brain's not all there yet. But yet we seem to, but then we let them use technology that's making, taking advantage of that and can have long-term impacts on them.
Yeah. And so the question is, what does it take to get a warning label essentially onto these social media sites. And like many conversations we have, only this one, it's not an exaggeration. It would take an act of Congress.
Yeah, I mean, look, these companies could volunteer to do it, but, you know, the chances of that happening aren't very good because they realize, well, this is a negative thing about our product, and it would encourage people to spend less time on our platform, and those all mean less dollars for us. Just like, you know, the cigarette manufacturers didn't want to put a label on that this could cause cancer because they knew right. that might actually decrease the number of people who bought cigarettes. And, you know, we do know that it happened. I mean, I think in 1965, it was something like 40 or 42% of the American public smoked. And now you're looking today, it's down to like 10% or even yeah. less. So it's a they have an impact. And I'm sure that the warning labels aren't the only thing that contributed to that. But the fact that society as a whole came out and said, this isn't probably very good for you, made a difference. And nobody's saying that social media is all negative. I mean, there's probably hardly a good thing you can say about a cigarette. I'm not sure there's any health benefits. With social media, there's a lot of good benefits to it. Nobody's denying that, but there's some negative ones, and we just need to be, we need to be cognizant of that. So it will likely take an act of Congress. The Surgeon General coming out is a nice statement, but he can't make them do that, nor should he be able to. I think this is something that if it's going to be regulated or it's going to have something on it, it should be the people's elected representatives making that decision on behalf of the people.
Yeah, and one of the things I'm really glad you mentioned that it's getting bipartisan support for the recommendation of the Surgeon General that with all the other things going on, the polarity of what's happened in America, you know, in Congress and in the Senate and just in politics in general, what a great opportunity to come together on something that they can agree on. And I do think, you know, we've talked about that here in the Roundhouse, you know, when we talk about what's going on in New Mexico or on a national level, just how great it would be to find more of those bipartisan issues that representatives can get together and work on and find out, you know, practice makes permanent. And if they are spending time doing these bipartisan issues, dealing with them, that will help in the other issues where there's, you know, again, more polarity. You just like to see some of the healing go on in our nation compared to what we've seen over the last several years. But I would encourage parents, if you haven't checked this out already at dailysignal.com, go to the website, do a search for the warning labels on social media. That's probably enough. And I did it earlier and found the article very easily. But not only that, peruse the site. There's a lot of great topics that impact really all of us around the country, and even some that may hit closer to home. The Daily Signal is the news outlet for the Heritage Foundation. You can go to dailysignal.com or heritage.org. And if you're finding content that is meaningful and useful for you and your family, we'd encourage you to pray about and consider supporting them financially. They're a nonprofit organization. And if nothing else, to reach out to them, to send them a contact to say, hey, we heard about your organization on KLYT. And let them know what a great resource it is to them, as are you, Genevieve. We always appreciate your insight and thought and information that you're able to provide us with basically on a weekly basis. And we caught you traveling today. We appreciate you taking the time between flights to sit down and get us an update. So we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Steve, thank you very much.
All right, stick around. We're going to catch up with John Moore Associates. Brian actually has got someone pinch hitting today. We'll catch up with Cole from John Moore Associates right after the break on ABQ Connect.